The dictionary meaning of confidence is great faith in one's ability, that is certainty to do. To put it simply, there is a certain knowledge, there is a certainty that I'm able to achieve. As a model, for example, why do you audition to be a model? You know you have the talent, you know you have the skills, you have the looks for it, you have the resources. And so there's a certainty because I have the experience, I have the capacity, I have the ability, I have the components needed in order to achieve this purpose. And so you go ahead, and that is what confidence is. Confidence is great faith in one's ability. We can say great certainty in one's ability to achieve. And this is what I would call self-initiated confidence, because you look around you, you look at what you have, experiences, you look at your resources, what you have gathered over the years, what the system requires, what the market requires. Look at all these things, and then your confidence that you are able to achieve your purpose. Some may trust in horses, some may trust in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord. Welcome to Kingdom Activate. My name is Dio. This kind of confidence that I've just explained, the audacity, the boldness to be able to do, the authority to be able to act, because no one acts without a reason. If I'm going to get a job, in order for me to apply for the job, I have to see, do I have the resources? Do I have the components? Do I have what they require? And for that purpose, if I have at least 80% of what they require, I am able to act. I have the confidence to put in my resume because I have what they need. And that is what we call self-initiated confidence. This kind of confidence is actually very detrimental. It is very, very poisonous. It is in direct contrast to the confidence that is kingdom confidence. The way I like to define kingdom confidence is boldness or audacity to be able to act, to be able to do, not from self-will, not from self-confidence, but from the knowledge, from the certainty that God teaches me, God leads me, God directs me, and God backs me up. Because when we look around us, everybody's doing something, right? No matter how lazy you think you are, sleeping is an action, eating is an action, working, partying is an action. No matter what you're doing, you are actually doing something. You are taking an action. The question here is, why are you taking that action? There are two kinds of confidence, self-initiated confidence and God-initiated confidence. If you're on the wrong side of confidence, I would urge you today to move on the other side, which is God-initiated confidence, because the self-initiated confidence only leads to destruction. We will go deeper into that. Today, as I said, we are discussing how to identify your confidence, how to hold on to it so it is not stolen, and the repercussions of losing that confidence, because your confidence, your license to do, your audacity, your authority to act is very important, okay? And that is what the enemy actually comes to steal, just in case you did not know. The enemy does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So there are some places he doesn't go, but he does go to some places. And those places he goes there to steal something. And I put it to you today that what the enemy tries to steal from you is your confidence. Let's first identify what your confidence is. Like I said earlier, why are you acting? Why are you waking up in the morning? Why are you rushing off to work? Where are you going? What are you doing? What gave you the confidence to be able to do? You see, because we were born into the system, we're born into the structure. When we are born, we are already told how life works. We are already taught. We are already initiated into the system. We are told, okay, you have to go to school, go to elementary school, go to college, get your degree, BSc. If you do not even want to go to college, there are other ways. You can study something, get a course, do something, become a makeup artist or an artist, learn to draw, painter. There are many, many options out there. Everywhere you turn, there is something to do, right? All you have to do is make a choice. I love to paint. I've discovered I know how to paint. And so therefore, I will go ahead and paint. Just like I said earlier, your license to do is the fact that you look around you, you look within you, and you look at what you're able to exchange it with. For example, I love to paint. I discovered that I have a talent, I have a skill, I have the experience. I've worked in many galleries, so I know what it looks like. I know what the business structure is like. And so therefore, I go ahead. You see, you got your license. You looked at what you have. I have the resources. I have the components. I have the experience. And I've seen the testimonials of others. It worked out for them. And so therefore, I go. And I do. I act. Let me tell you right now. That kind of confidence is called horses and chariots in the Bible. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord God. I'm going to explain what it means. Horses, you see, with horses, it has a lot of strength, a lot of skills to be able to jump through hoops, go through a rough terrain. And with chariots, chariots is a construct built by man. So an example of a horse is your strength, your capacity, your ability, your talent, your skills, your experiences. You see, human strength, human ability. Example of chariots is the systems, the structures that are in place, methods of how things are done, institutions, capitalism, socialism, democracy, politics. When we were born into this world, we were basically born into what is already set in place, set in stone. They've been sown into our vein. When we choose, when we want to take a step, instead of looking to God, instead of seeking for what God is saying, we instead look around us, look within us, and look at what is happening, where it's happening, where can I make money, for survival, for success, for prosperity. We look around us, what can I do? What is the best business that is going right now? That is a chariot. What you bring in within you is the horse. Without a horse, the chariot cannot move. So it is the talents of people, the experiences, the skills of people, the technical know-how of people that actually drives the chariot. Without our talent, without our capacity or our ability or our brains or our methods, the chariot cannot even move in the first place. You see a business structure, or you see capitalism, for example, which is solely based on profit. The competition is the survival of the fittest. Everybody comes there just to make profit. You see how giant companies that actually sell poison to its people. So it doesn't matter what they're selling. As long as I have what it takes in order to be able to work in this company. There are many sodas out there that are actually poisonous, that have taken the lives of people. But because it's a big company, it's a huge company, it's been run for many, many years, and the structure seems very stable. I look at what I have. I have the skills. I have a technical know-how. I'm able to apply into that company. And because I'm able to apply, you see, I give myself the license to do because I see where to attach myself. I find my confidence in everything. Other people's testimonials, other people's experiences, my skills, like I've mentioned earlier, and I attach myself to the chariots. That is what it means when the Bible says that some may trust in chariots and horses. You trust in the systems. You trust in the structures that you already find on ground because you have to survive, because you have to succeed, because you have to be victorious, because you have to prosper. Your reliance and your trust is in the systems and the structures that is already on ground. And then you rely on what is within you. You rely on the talent. You rely on the skills, on the experiences in order to go further. I put it to you today that this kind of confidence is self-destructive. This kind of confidence, according to Isaiah chapter 31 verse 1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. We just explained what horses are. We explained what chariots are. And the Bible says that they are many. Look around. You can sleep today and decide, I need a second hustle, another stream of income, and you're going to get it. If you set your mind to it, it is very easy. You can be a makeup artist. You can be a fashion designer, be an IT consultant in the security department, wherever they're hiring, wherever you are needed, wherever you have the talent for. If you don't even have the talent or experience for it, you will give yourself to it in order for you to learn, in order for you to be able to achieve. As a matter of fact, even if you do not apply or get hired for a job, you don't go for either a white collar job or a blue collar job, you can still succeed. There are many. They are everywhere. You can go on social media. All you need is a phone. If you're goofy or you can dance, you can put yourself out there and succeed. It is very easy. And you watch other people do it. All you have to do is give yourself to it, right? Now, this confidence is what I'm saying. The Bible is calling it woe. The word woe is an expression of inevitable sorrow, inevitable destruction, inevitable condemnation, inevitable ruin. Do you understand this? And I'm going to explain why this kind of lifestyle that we were born into, and we continued in. I'm going to explain why the Bible called it woe. It does not matter if you saw your father or you saw someone excel in this path. I promise you, this structure, the foundation, is already destroyed. Why was capitalism created in the first place? Why did man create capitalism? I'm going to tell you. Greed, self-preservation, self-ambition, all of that corrupt mindset is the foundation of these systems. The foundation is deteriorating. You begin to see how it sucks the life out of other people. You see how it sucks the life of even those that created it. You see how it's not improving the lifestyle of others. Foundation is not love, but it is greed. The foundation is not selflessness, but selfishness. When you have structures and systems that actually cheat other people, when you have chariots in place that actually condemn its people, that does not love, that does not include everyone, this kind of structure will definitely come crumbling down, because God loves his people. And the Bible here, verse 3, says, "Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together." You're part of building a structure that sucks the life out of the people, out of people of God. Because let's not forget, for God so loved the world. God loves man, whether you like it or not, whether you have realized it or not, whether you know it or not. God loves you. Do you see this? God loves the world. He gave his only begotten son. If God loves the world, he loves the people that he has created for a purpose, and there is something standing in the way, which is the systems, the structures, it will definitely come crushing down. They will all perish, because God always comes to save his people. Do you understand this? How do you recognize what confidence you have? It's very simple. Why did you decide to start working as an IT analyst, as a computer programmer? Why did you decide to become a dancer? Why did you decide to become a model? Why did you pick up your phone and start posting on TikTok or Instagram? Why did you decide to apply as a nurse or a CNA? Why did you become a doctor? These are the questions I'm asking. Confidence in God, a direct contrast to confidence that man has. Kingdom confidence, which I call God-initiated confidence, is boldness to act, boldness to do, not from self-will, but knowing certainty that you are sent, you are backed, and you are taught of God. Do you see this? Just like Jesus said, the Son can do nothing. In John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself. The servants can do nothing of himself. You know, when I was reading this, I began to think about it like, is God saying, I had my battle with this conversation, and I'm going to be very honest. I was like, is God saying that we cannot put our brain to work? What does this really mean? Does it mean that we cannot do anything whatsoever? And the Lord made it very clear. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Just like Isaiah 31:1 says, woe to those that rely on horses and chariots and do not look upon God, the Holy One of Israel. God is not saying not to use your brain. not to do what you need to do, God is saying, let me be the one to guide you. Let me be the one to lead you, because everything else you see will destroy you. Everything else we see will. I don't know how else to stress this. Everything else will not only destroy you, but will destroy your generation and the next generation to come. What? You can't work. Why? So you rely on the system. I get my paycheck and so I'm fine. What happens to the next generation coming? They rely on the paycheck too. Guess what? They will also have disability. Because the enemy knows how to give you what you want. He knows how to make you comfortable in the spot that you are. And so your next generation comes and they depend on the next paycheck. They see their parents relying on paycheck. There is nothing wrong. We're fine. We eat. We get clothes. We have insurance. Everything is covered. You're relying on the system, not looking to the Holy One of Israel for help, not looking to the Holy One of Israel for a change, not looking to the Holy One of Israel for his plans. He said it, I have my plans for you. There are plans that he has for us. And so you go ahead because you want to succeed. You go ahead because you want to survive. You want to make ends meet. You have to provide for your children. You have to provide for your family. The pressure is right there. It's obvious. But the Bible says your father knows what you need. He knows. He's not blind. The father is not blind. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows the core. He has seen your issues. He has seen your sorrows. He knows why there is pressure. He knows why you have burdens. He knows why there are anxiety. He knows everything. And he still said, seek first the kingdom of God. Simply means look unto God. Ask him. Wait on him. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Do you see this? The confidence that is kingdom confidence, it is God himself that teaches you where you need to go, what you need to do, and how you need to do it. And there you can use all your capabilities, all of your abilities, and you can invest it in that jurisdiction given to you by God. Last time we also read that passage and it says come. It's basically a continuation. If you come to God, just like he said, I will make a covenant with you. He's going to teach you exactly what he wants you to say. There are many places in the Bible where Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are not mine. Jesus did not speak the words that he thought of. Jesus, this Jesus you so love very much, did not say, speak the words that he thought of. It was not his words. He says, the words that I speak, they are not mine. The actions that I'm taking, they are not of me. Because the Son can do nothing of himself. A child of God can do nothing of himself. If your dependence and your reliance is on horses and chariots, as we've explained, the time is now. The time is now to repent. How do you repent? Look at the life you've lived. What did you rely on? What was your trust in? Was it on the skills? Was it on the talents? Was it on your degree? What chariots did you choose? What did you trust in to make you succeed? To give you what you need in order to survive? What did you trust in to give you success? What did you trust in to give you prosperity? Did you trust in God like Abraham did? Like Joseph did? Did you trust in God up to this point? Or you trusted in horses and chariots? I will repeat again. The word woe is inevitable. It will happen. It has started. It has started crumbling. You just don't see it. There's been a shift. The foundation is rotten. You see, the whole building will come collapsing. It will. It is inevitable. It will be destroyed. It will become ruined. And it will ruin those that depend on it. It will ruin those that trust in it. It will ruin those that rely on it. The time is now. Shift. How do you shift? Repent. How do you repent? Ask God, lead me. I want to surrender that you might teach me. Guide me. Help me. Now I know that I was in the wrong direction. I ask, O Lord, that you teach me and lead me to your path of righteousness. Help me that I am not destroyed along with the chariots and the horses. Because remember, when God stretches his hands, like he did when he parted the Red Sea, the chariots and the horses, they all drowned, including the horsemen. Who are the horsemen? The men on top, the principals that keep this structure going. Because the horseman maneuvers the horse and it moves the structures and the chariots. All of them drowned in the Red Sea. They all did. But the children of God, those who were in obedience, those who looked to God for help, those who looked to God for direction, for salvation, for success, those who looked to God for prosperity, those who looked to God for survival, they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. They watched the Egyptians and they saw them no more. They watched the horses and chariots and they saw them no more. So, are you able to identify the confidence you have? What gave you the license to do? Who? When? How? I will use myself as an example. I will have you know, I'm not sitting here because I think I've read the Bible. I think I know what it's saying. That's not how I got here. Before I'm seated here today, there was a life I lived. I trusted in chariots and horses. And I am grateful to God that by his mercies, he rerouted me, he redirected me, and brought me here. Now I know why I'm here. Not because I read the Bible and I understand it. No. I'm not here because I can speak. I have a phone. I have a camera. I have lights. I have a background. That's not why I'm here. If that was my reason, that would have still been trusting in horses. Do you see? And chariots. Because I'm going to post this on social media. The social media is just another chariot. My dependence and trust and reliance is on God. God brought me here. God sat me here. God taught me these words that is coming out of my mouth. God told me how to sit. God taught me what to do. Do you see this? I did not decide on my own. I'm going to use, I have a nice background. This is, as a matter of fact, if someone told me I would be here 2 years ago, I would have laughed at them. I would have gone like, yeah, you're wrong. But I'm here. I have the boldness. I have the audacity and the authority to speak because I've been given the confidence by Father. Because I'm backed up by him. Because I am taught by him. And because I was sent by him. Look into your life. Search. This is what it means to repent. Change how you think. What was I depending on? Is it because I have a phone? That's why I post on social media? I'm still trusting the horses, even though I go to church every Sunday. I'm still not fully surrendered to the Father. That brings me to the next segment. How do you hold onto your confidence? Now that you know what confidence you have, and if you're not in the right path, now you know how to switch to the right path, to the only path, to the good path, from self-initiated confidence to God-initiated confidence. How do you hold on to it? Because the devil does not come. Mm-mm. He doesn't. Except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You know what this means? It means that the devil does not go visiting Egypt. He does not go. When you are on horses and chariots, he doesn't visit you. You know why? Because the structure and the system itself is designed to destroy you. But he goes looking for those who are not in the system and the structure, because there's something to steal. And what he's trying to steal is their confidence. Their God-initiated confidence. And there are repercussions for allowing the enemy to steal it. He's a thief. Moses also fell victim of this. But before we get there, how do you hold on to it? Onto that confidence. In prayer, in surrender, and in obedience. Because when you lose your confidence, you lose your trust in God. When you lose your trust in God, you begin to trust in chariots and horses, and you still get destroyed. Do you see that? So that was why I said the enemy does not go visiting Egypt. No, their whole structure is designed to destroy them anyway. Right? Now, the people who are not in Egypt, who are dependent on the truth, who depend and trust on God, he still comes to look for them, to destroy them, because all he wants to do is destroy. He's so mad. He's so angry. He wants to destroy. That's all he wants. And so you have to keep and hold on to it. Surrender, obedience, and faith. Now, what does it mean to surrender? To restrain yourself. Just like Jesus said, if you can take this cup off of me, but let your will be done. Your will. You see, you restrain yourself. Yes, the chariots and horses are many. They are everywhere. You look on this side, you're able to do some course in order to get a job. You look on this side, you're able to do multi-level marketing. It's everywhere. But you restrain yourself and you surrender. Lord, only your will be done. Lead me and teach me. Somebody calls you like, oh yeah, they're making money here. Oh, there's a shoot happening here. Or there's an audition over here. You restrain yourself. I will go nowhere until God leads me. I will do nothing until God leads me. It's hard, right? I'm not saying quit your job. I'm not saying stop everything. Halt. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let your mindset begin to shift from self-initiated confidence to God confidence. You begin to doubt what you hold on to. Begin to doubt your foundation, your rock, what you're resting on. Begin to doubt it and begin to shift your confidence. Start relying on God. God, teach me. Help me. You don't hear anything yet. Continue. Then that's where faith comes. Know and know this. God is not a man that he should lie. You need faith in order to work. You need faith in order to walk with God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is invincible, right? But you can see with everything that he has created that God exists. In case you did not know, God is, and he forever will be. I just wanted to put that out there. He is the Almighty, the I Am, the one who was and forever will be, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You did not think yourself up. These trees did not realize themselves. A light bulb did not just drop on the floor and boom, something happened. There is a beginning. There was one who created the heavens and the earth. And that one, his word never drops to the ground. This is his word. You hear it, you hearken, you listen, understand, obey, and you will see for yourself what God will do. Do you understand? Have faith that God is not a man that he should lie. Have faith that when you seek the Lord, he will surely answer. Have faith that they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Have faith. Even the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they did not know God. But the Bible says, and they cried unto the Lord, not the enemy. The enemy laughs. You see, it is God that hears you. It's God that sends help. Know that God hears. Know that God sees. Understand that God does. He works, and only he works. Do you understand this? Surrender. Have faith. Have faith that God is God. Obedience. Very powerful. Obedience is a very powerful substance. Sometimes we don't know. You just obey. What you have to know is who spoke. Did God speak? I'll obey. If God spoke, go ahead and obey. Because you have everything it takes in order to obey. You see, when you follow these, surrender, faith, and obedience, you'll be able to hold on to your confidence. Another way to hold on to your confidence is also by drawing boundaries. When you see people who are going farther than you, and it seems like your path is slow, you have faith. You trust in God. You are drawing boundaries. God is your boundary. God is your boundary. He will not fail is your boundary. His word will not fall down to the ground. He is your boundary. I will not move except God moves is your boundary. When you continue to walk like this, God sees you. God hears you. When you begin to hear voices of doubt, why are you not on social media? Why are you not doing this and that? What you're doing is not good. Why are you just sitting home? Or why are you just working? Why don't you do much? Why are you fasting? Why are you doing this and that? Turn off your ears to naysayers. See, you create a distance. Anyone, and God will help you. Let me not even say much. God will help you. I am confident that God will help you. You know why? He helped me. He did. He taught me how to draw boundaries. He taught me how to break relationships, keep people who are voices of doubt far away from me. He also taught me how to depend only on His word. So, and I pray in this moment that as you listen, as you put your heart to obey, you will not fail. I pray that you will walk accurately, you will walk circumspectly, and you will walk only to please the Lord. In the name of Christ Jesus. Now, what are the dangers? What are the repercussions of losing your confidence? It is plenty. It is huge. It is dangerous. And in order for me to explain this, I'm going to go back to Moses. We've been using Moses as a case study. And this is actually very sad because we know what happened at the end of Moses. We know he could not enter the promised land. At first, God told him to come to take his people out of the land of Egypt. That was God's plan for him at that time. When he finished that, in Exodus chapter 19, we see how he went up to God again and God began to tell him the things he needs to do, which is, now take my people to the land, the good and the large land, flowing with milk and honey. In the last conversation, I spoke about how Moses was deceived. I spoke about how Moses mixed voices. He listened to his father-in-law, which was a grave mistake that he made. And I'm grateful to God that we are able to learn from it, right? And God is so faithful. If you pay attention, God never mentions anyone's flaws. You see, the Bible says, and Moses listened, hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he said. That is the place of God. You see, you can never, no. See, boundaries. God has said something. I'm in obedience to what God is saying. Someone else comes and begins to say nonsense. It's time for you to go. It's time. Leave. It's time for you to go. But now we can learn from those mistakes. A continuation from last time. You've stayed on this mountain too long. It's now time for you to leave and go to the good land. Before Moses left, God arranged everything. The Ark of Covenant is going to go before you. It's going to find a place for you to rest. The pillar of cloud was still there. The pillar of fire was still there. I remember why the pillar of cloud was there. The pillar of cloud and fire was there to lead the way, right? And the Ark of Covenant was also given to find a place of rest for them, right? Temporary rest before they actually rest in the promised land. Everything was set. Now listen, remember, it's a gradual process, like a seed. When you plant a seed, it dies first. You then see growth and then you see seeds and all that. This is a seed. His father-in-law left in him. Please just listen to the last conversation. Because he hearkened, he doubted what God had told him because his father-in-law said, what you're doing is not good. And so Moses knew what he was doing is not good. He listened, changed the whole structure. God said nothing. Moses did not give it to God. So God said nothing. So it was time for them to leave. Numbers 10:29. Now Moses said to Hobab, the son of Jethro, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And Hobab, the son of Jethro, said, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses said, please do not leave. Inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. Each time I read this, I'm sad. Do you see how everything is in place? You know where, you know how, you know what you need to do. You've been given the authority, you've been given the confirmation. You've been given the boldness, the audacity to act, right? God says, now time, it's time to go. The God that said it's time to go gave you everything you need. The Ark of Covenant to find a rest for you where you can camp. The cloud that followed you from Egypt, never left you. The Bible says the Lord never removed the cloud, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire from the face of the people. It was always there. Moses no longer trusts in that pillar of cloud that leads the way. He thinks Hobab, the son of Jethro, should be eyes. This is called the belt and suspenders analogy. What does it mean? You already have a belt that holds your pants. Why do you need a suspender? God, the word of God, is that belt. The plan, his thoughts, his confidence for you, his ways for you. But now you need extra support. This is the consequence of losing your confidence. This is a picture of lost confidence. Do you see? Moses is no longer confident in the word of God. And there are many, I have many receipts. Moses was no longer confident in God. I have many receipts. And I will show you all the receipts. I have time today. Just in case you don't have time for me, I don't know. But I have time today. He no longer trusts alone, because you only trust in God. He no longer trusts in God. There is the Ark of Covenant. There is the cloud, the pillar of cloud. There is also the pillar of fire, the same one that led you all the way from Egypt to the Mount of God, to the Mount Sinai. You did not need any eye. You had everything you need. You were good. You were obedient. You were working his works. God was pleased. It's time for you to live. Because you allowed somebody, a voice that is not of God, that came to tell you everything you're doing is not good. Destroyed the whole structure. Rearranged and created disorder in what God had already planned. Now it has left a seed inside of Moses. Now Moses is no longer confident in God. He needs the experiences of others to lead him. He needs horse. He needs a horse. Okay. Even this horse does not want to go. He's like, I'm not going to that promised land. It's not mine. Because he doesn't care for God. He doesn't care for the covenant of God or the plans of God. This man, Hobab, does not care. But Moses is trying to convince him, like, oh, please go. Because you have to be our eyes. You are the one who knows where we're going to camp. You know the terrain well. God doesn't, but he knows. We're going to fast forward to Numbers. The Israelites were mumbling. They said they wanted flesh to eat. They are murmuring about everything. They're like, who's going to give us flesh to eat? We remember the cucumbers. Remember the garlic, the onions we ate in Egypt. And God said to Moses, he said, okay, I'm going to give the people flesh to eat. Tell them they will not just eat it for 1 week, for 1 day or 1 week. They're going to eat it for a whole month. You know what Moses said? What? I have 600,000 footmen with me. Are we going to go and empty the sea for them? Or are we going to kill all the cattle for the people to eat? Now that you're saying that we should give them, who's going to give them meat? Moses was talking to God. You see? Lost confidence. This was when he was telling God, like, just kill me. Just kill me. You are treating me in an ill manner. Why are you treating me this way? Why have you given me these people? He's blaming God. Just the same way that the people were tempting God. Moses is using the same voice. Remember that the structure was changed. If you want to understand this section of this conversation, you have to listen to the first part where I spoke about the voice of God. He has listened to another voice. This same man who sees manna fall from heaven every day, he's saying to God that, are we going to go empty the sea? Are we going to kill all the cattle? Is he trying to say that even if we did all of this, it would not be enough for the people? Like, this is a lot of work. You know what God said to him? He said, as the hand of the Lord waxed short. It wasn't short in Egypt when water turned to blood. The hand of the Lord was not short in Egypt when the Red Sea parted. The hand of the Lord was not short when water came out of the rock. You see? But now Moses has shifted. The confidence has been stolen. And God said, you will see now if my word to you will not come to pass. And so that was the conversation. Fast forward, it's time for him to listen, to obey God. And God says, speak to the rock. I will stand before you, speak to the rock. I've heard many conversations of people say that Moses was angry and that was why he missed the promised land. That's not what happened. God said it himself, because you did not believe me. There it goes. That's what happens when you lose your confidence. You will not believe God and you will lose the confidence. You will not finish the work. You will not finish well. God is faithful. God is merciful. Do you see? Because you have to be, it has to be revealed to you for you to see things like this. You don't see the flaws of Moses. It has to be revealed to you. God never mentioned anything. Even with Abraham, when he made a mistake and slept with Hagar, did God say anything? No. Because why? They did not look unto God. You did not seek first God. God will not interfere in your business if you don't want him to. He only interferes when you seek him, when you ask him, Lord, help me. Ah, my daughter wants me. I'll come. If the people of Israelites did not cry unto the Lord in Egypt, they would die in Egypt. You see, remember there was a place in the, that just came to me actually. There was a place in the New Testament where the Bible says that the wind was against the disciples. Jesus told them to go and they got on the boat. Jesus told them to go. They got on the boat and the wind was against them. The waves were against them and they were trying. And the Bible says, and Jesus walked past them until they called out to him. Before he answered, he would have walked past them. You don't seek him, he won't come. Because you have free will. I hear that a lot now. I hear, oh, a very good way to use your free will. Free will. Listen, I have the free will to choose God and to surrender to God. That is all I know. God, my Father. Just like Christ, I can do nothing. I can say nothing. I can't sit here except I've been taught by the Father. Sometimes I battle and I go like, oh my God, some things I can't even say. Except by the Father. Moses did not believe God when God said, speak to the rock. You know what he believed? He depended on his experience because he had hit the rock before. You see, he depended, like I said, the belt and the suspenders analogy, the word is not enough. He relied, he rested. You see, when you're standing, but you just bend a little bit like this, you know, this is not enough. I'm standing on God. I'm standing on his word. But you know, just in case. With God, you cannot be 50-50 or 75-25. You cannot be 80-20. With God, you cannot. You are either for him or against him. And God said, because you did not believe me to sanctify me before the people, you will not enter the land. So I'm saying it to you. First of all, reroute. How do we reroute? Prayer, surrender, release yourself. Believe it. God is on his throne. I tell you one more time. You don't have to say some exact words. No. Your heart is enough. Cry unto the Lord if you want to. Raise your hand unto the Lord. Lie down if you want to. Whatever you want to do. Sit if you want to. But let your posture, your heart posture be right. Say to the Lord, ask him to redirect you to his path of righteousness. Be willing to surrender. Be willing to be obedient. Be willing to know. Be willing to do. So that he can reroute you. Sometimes he's just going to teach you what you need to do. And you'll be able to do it. Everything, the Holy Spirit is capable. He is the Spirit of truth. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of man. But by his Spirit, he reveals to us. The Spirit searches the things of God. And he reveals it to us. The Spirit is capable. He's able to dumb it down for us. You see, because God is so huge, God is so big, so massive, so rich. In order for him to say one word to you, for him to explain something to you, it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to release it little by little, line by line. You see, line by line. Understanding by understanding. Teaching, okay, a little here, a little there, in order for it to come together. The Holy Spirit is capable. Don't worry. If there is anything you need to learn, God Himself will take you to the place where His name is. All you have to do is ask Him, Lord, where can I go to hear more of your word? Teach me, where should I go? Let Him lead you. Don't just open your ears to every man that says he's a preacher. That's not how it works. You stay only under one, and God takes you there. And once you've learned everything you need to learn there, He takes you away from there and takes you to the next stage. To the next stage, that is God. That is God. He is a good shepherd, a good leader. Do we understand this? Do not lose your confidence. You need it. We live by faith in God, not in self, not in our talents, not in the systems on ground. They do not help us survive. They do not help us succeed. If anything, they destroy us gradually. And in the next generation, you begin to see the destruction. They destroy us. We do not have faith in what we have, our resources, our talents, our skills, our technical know-how. We have faith in God, in the attributes of God, in the name of God. Who is He? He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning. He's the ending. He is the first. He's the last. Who is God? He's the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the King of glory. He is the good shepherd. He is good. He's God. He's able. He's faithful. He's holy. He is God and is able to do all things beyond your expectations, beyond your dreams. Able to go far and beyond. Far and beyond. I urge you to trust in God today. Look, set your gaze, shift your gaze from the systems and the structure. Shift your gaze from your resources, from your talents, from all that you've been relying on. Shift it to God. It doesn't take much. It only takes your heart. Keep these words in your heart. Meditate on it. Think about it. Don't let it go. So that you might gain even more understanding. When you gain even more and more understanding, the door will begin to open. You are able to express yourself. God will teach you. Even how to pray, He'll teach you. Ask Him. You don't know how to pray? Ask Him. Teach me how to pray. He will lead you. He will teach you. He will put the words in your mouth. In our weaknesses, He helps us. Jesus is praying for us. The Holy Spirit is praying for us. And the church is praying for us. You cannot and you will not lack. You don't understand what it means to trust in the Lord. The Bible, I read something in the Bible that even shook me even more. In Exodus chapter 14, when the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, the Bible says, and in the morning watch. I'm like, morning, who was watching? The Egyptians were coming after the Israelites. And in the morning watch, this is Exodus 14:24. It says, the Lord looked unto the Egyptians through the pillar of the cloud. Do you know what it means? God was watching over His people by Himself. You know how a bird hovers over his little ones? God was literally watching, hovering over His children, that nothing will hurt them. Nobody will come over them. He was creating a hedge, protecting them. An active protection. Active keeping. So I cannot even express how that helps me. Just, it amps me up. It just releases something out of me. God Himself, in Isaiah chapter 27:3, it says, I watch over it. I watch over it. I water it night and day that nothing might hurt it. Who is this? Who is this it? The church. Who is the church? though children of God, he watches over his own. Nothing, no height, no depth, no principality, no power, no demon, no darkness, none, nothing whatsoever can hurt you when you surrender to the Lord, when you give yourself to the King. This is true. However, trusting in chariots and horses, there is an inevitable woe. Destruction is coming. Destruction is inevitable. Destruction, ruins, collapse is inevitable. The reason trusting in horses and chariots is woe is because the very foundations of those systems are corrupt. They are built on greed, pride, fear, and man's self-preservation. They may look strong for a while, but their DNA is collapse. They carry destruction in their core, but the kingdom of God is built on righteousness, truth, and the rock of Christ. That's why it endures forever. Thank you for joining me today. I'm glad you've learned something today. I'm glad there's been a shift in your mindset. I'm glad that God will send his people to come and hear these words. And they will come and they will hear it. Thank you. Leave a like. Leave a thumbs up. Subscribe. Share. And we'll see next time. God bless you.